your hit music.
I hear the sound of a mighty rushing wind.
Welcome to Issues weekly broadcast on Spirit FM 88.3. Romans chapter 13 verse 11 to 12 says, "And that knowing the time, that now is the high time to awake out of sleep. For now is our salvation nearer than when we first believed. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light." On this broadcast, Brother Eben and his team reveal supernatural visions, dreams, and prophecies with the accounts of the Bible. Real testimony soundbite of heaven and hell that can affect your life eternally. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth, on the right hand of God. Set your affections on things above, not on things on earth. Topical areas include the reality of life, heaven and hell, the afterlife, times, and many more. This program is live every Saturday from 8 to 10 p.m. Be blessed as you are encouraged to work out your own salvation with fear and trembling.
It's always a privilege to come your way, and we thank God for another Saturday evening. Last week, unfortunately, I wasn't around, but tonight, by the grace of God, I'm here. Okay, so Issues of Life. We'll first be talking about the news, some of the things happening in the week, and we'll have a little discussion, and then that'll be it. I mean, so from now till 9 p.m., I'll be with you, and it will be recorded and be put on spiritissues.info. Spiritissues.info. Greetings to our listeners, various parts of the world, wherever they are, and it's always a privilege to come your way. All right, so let's get into some of the events, some of the things happening. You know, the reason why I talk about the events, the news, sometimes we can be caught in the frenzy of, oh, we are busy with our normal daily lives and activities and all that. So we may not necessarily be aware of some things happening in the world, because it's not everybody who has the time to be monitoring all the various networks and all that. So we try to bring you a perspective of things happening in the world relative to Bible prophecy, so that at least we have an idea of the state of the world. And that's one main reason why this aspect of, I remember some years back I met this pastor who said, I mean, it really gives him a lot of information to know what is happening in the world, because sometimes you hear some things and it's like, wow, so this is happening. So that's one important aspect of it. You know, this week I was having a chat with a friend in the US, and you know, this on this LGBT issues and all that, and she was telling me the child came from school, and then they are asking for consent, the parents to sign a consent form for the child to be enrolled in some lessons. And it and said the way the father was furious. He said, "No way, my daughter is not going to be part of this." So they rejected, they didn't sign up for it. But you see, they are fortunate to be in a place, a school or a district where the parents are respected enough to even ask their opinion to agree or not to agree. Elsewhere in some districts, virtually even a court in one county or state, I mean city, the court has even ruled that the schools have a right to even hide it from parents. So you can imagine, I mean, the school is officially mandated and empowered to hide these evil things being taught to your child without you knowing. And if you dare question it, you are branded as, you are all sorts of things, homophobic, you are transphobic, you are this, you are that, and all that. You know, we are in very critical times. Parents really need to do a lot for their children, praying for our children. For those who are on my broadcast list, periodically there's this monthly prayer cycle, praying for our children. God willing, 1st September we'll start that cycle again. So every night their prayer points for your children to pray for. So, I mean, for those on my broadcast list, they all get it. They'll get it. But those not, some used to be on my broadcast list, but you know, sometimes you change your WhatsApp or you change your phone and all that, then the broadcast list breaks, so you don't get the messages I will be sending. So for such people, you can resend a notification, a message, hi or something, so that I add you again to the broadcast list. Or for those who have not been on my broadcast list at all, if you are interested in being part of this prayer for the whole month of September, 1st to 30th, where every night praying for your children, like your prayer points, various topics, very, very important. We do these prayers periodically for our children. So for those interested, you can send your number to, or you can send a message to my WhatsApp, 0244-638-757. And I'll add you to the broadcast list. All right, so let's get into some activity. California rocked by 5.1 magnitude earthquake as Hillary strikes LA, Los Angeles, and then San Diego with 80 miles per hour winds. So they had this hurricane Hillary whilst it was striking, and heavy rains pouring. There was also the earthquake. I mean, everything together. I mean, we are in very interesting times indeed. And then I think someone is trying to call. So a certain Constance. So you can just send a message rather than call. Then we have in North Korea, they've obtained missiles, I mean, capable of striking the U.S. And it's believed by experts that it's as a result of the cooperation with Russia. You know, North Korea, they've set their whole agenda. I mean, America is their enemy. They will do everything to attack America one day. So, well, and you see, now the alliance is becoming stronger. North Korea, Russia, China is becoming a stronger bond. And that's quite worrying indeed. But, well, only time will tell. In Uganda, we have evangelists and other Christians assaulted. So you have this hardline Muslims at an open-air evangelistic event in eastern Uganda assaulted a preacher and more than 20 other Christians for his teaching about Christ's divinity, according to sources. So Robert Meyer, a 34-year-old father of four, was also struck with a thorny object and stomped on during the events in Busolwe, 236 kilometers from Kampala. On the third day of the five-day event planned by an undisclosed church from another town, I mean, he cited passages from the Quran as examples that acknowledge that the uniqueness of Christ. And just as he was talking, he was attacked from the pulled off the stage and beaten, and other Christians around were beating their speakers, equipment, destroyed and all that. And you see, Uganda, this is one of many such instances where Christian persecution is happening in the eastern part of the country, where though Christian majority, but some of these areas have extremists where, like, the slightest provocation, they pounce on the Christians and persecute them. Then in Pakistan, this headline says that blasphemy accusations sparks attacks on Christians in Pakistan. So, on Wednesday, August 16th, 20 church buildings were ransacked and destroyed. And Pakistan, like the Muslim group, framed two Christians in a false blasphemy case, according to their relative. So the routing began after the residents in Cinema Chowk in Jawanwala, in a district, Faisaladad district, accused Umar Salim, known as Rocky, of desecrating pages of their holy book and writing blasphemous comments. A relative said Rocky was leaving for work on Wednesday morning when he saw a piece of paper with something written in red ink pasted on the door of a Muslim neighbor. When he went close to read it, he was shocked to see a photograph of him and his younger brother, Umar, alias Raja, pasted on top of the page. The relative told Morningstar News on condition of anonymity. Beneath the page were some partially burnt pages of the Quran inscribed with derogatory remarks about the religion. And then the source said Rocky, father of a 3-month-old son, panicked after reading the notes and instinctively removed the pages from the door. As if on cue, two Muslims pounced on him and snatched the pages, accusing him of committing blasphemy, according to the relative. And the allegation is ridiculous. Otherwise, who would name himself and his brother as the writers of the notes and also put their photo on it? The relative said, someone has framed them to exact revenge. Members of the Full Gospel Assemblies Church, the 24-year-old Rocky works as a cleaner at a textile factory, whilst Raja, 21, works in facilities at the local government school. The case was registered against them for prosecution, and, you know, so many Christians were attacked, buildings destroyed, and all, after they were framed in such a situation. You know, Christians are struggling in some of these extreme areas. Indeed, it's quite really, really strenuous for some of those people to be in those areas as Christians. And then in Eritrea, we have 13 Christians released from Eritrean prison after being falsely imprisoned for 10 years. Can you imagine? 10 years on false accusations. 13 Eritrean Christians have been released from prison after being falsely imprisoned for 10 years, according to the Voice of Martyrs Christian Ministry, which said the prisoners included 7 women and 6 men who were released as part of a campaign it initiated. The Christians were released about 2 weeks ago after Voice of Martyrs called on Christians to pray for the release of 2 Eritrean church leaders and provided information to help Christians contact the Eritrean embassy on behalf of the imprisoned Christians, the ministry said in the statement shared with the Christian Post. After the ministry launched the campaign on July 22nd, more than 10,000 people responded, and just 6 days later, Voice of Martyrs received word from the ministry partners in Eritrea about the release of the 13 believers. Wow, wow, wow. The power of prayer. Indeed, I mean, these places, these persecuted countries and Christians in these places need prayers from we in this, in our safe zones. The least we can do for such is to be praying for these believers out there in the countries, North Korea, Eritrea, Sudan, Iran, Azerbaijan, Kazakhstan, all these places where Christians are facing severe, parts of India and all that, Pakistan, Indonesia, Uganda, Madagascar, and all these places where Christians are facing extreme difficulty in some areas. And in some of these countries, it's the entire country. In some, too, is portions of the country where you have extremists. And then, our own backyard, Nigeria, northern part of Nigeria, is something else there as well. We really have to be praying, you see. And that's quite a serious thing. Nigeria's case is one typical case for Christians in Ghana to learn a lot from. You know, we really have to be guided by what happens in Nigeria, what has happened in Nigeria, and what keeps happening in Nigeria. And that's one important reason why Christians have to know the importance of making choices that are important regarding the religion as well. Because if we are not careful as Christians and make some mistakes as elsewhere is made, eventually Christians lose their rights. And these are the dynamics where we should understand the times we are in. And we have to walk in wisdom as well as Christians. And know how to pray. We have to really, really pray for these places, these people, these believers out there. Okay, in Nigeria, we have Nigerian court affirms right to convert from Islam to Christianity. So a court in northern Nigeria has granted a court order protecting an 18-year-old Christian convert from threats to her life by family members, a ruling that emphasizes the fundamental right to change religion, in this case from Islam to Christianity. Mary Olowe, not her real name, faced death threats from her father and brothers after converting to Christianity. Her mother helped her escape to safety in the Christian community before seeking legal protection from a restraining order. According to the human rights group ADF International, a high court in Nigeria granted an order of perpetual injunction against her father and brothers. The defendants are hereby restrained from threats and attempts on the life of the applicant following her decision to change from the practice of Islam to Christianity, and also not to breach her fundamental rights as to the choice of her religion or thoughts, the order states. No appeals were filed against the order. We are relieved that Mary has found protection from these credible threats and that the court recognized her fundamental right to convert from Islam to Christianity, ADF International Legal Counsel Sam Nelson said in a statement. This is an important decision that we pray will help others facing threats to their lives, only because they came to believe in Christ. No person should be persecuted, harassed, or threatened with death for their faith, nor for converting from one faith to the other, Nelson added. Christian converts from Islam in Nigeria are often denied the ability to freely live out their faith because of targeted threats and attacks against them, even from their family members. Olowe's case comes after 25-year-old Christian student was beaten to death last year by her Muslim classmates in Nigeria's northwestern Sokoto state. Deborah Emmanuel, a member of the Evangelical Church Winning All and a student at the Shehu Shagari College of Education, was killed in May 2022 after classmates claimed a WhatsApp message she sent to a classmate during an argument was blasphemous. A Christian woman named Rhoda Yau Jatao was arrested in Bauchi State in May 2022 and was held incommunicado for more than 4 months on blasphemy charges for sharing a post on WhatsApp condemning Emmanuel's killing, Morning Star News reported at the time. The persecution of Christians in Nigeria is particularly severe, with 90% of the over 5,600 Christians killed for their faith worldwide last year being Nigerian, according to persecution watchdog group Open Doors. Christian converts from Islam, such as Mary, face significant social hostility. Indeed, that's what I was talking about. Nigeria's case. All right, so to the U.S. Bank of America closes account tied to Christian outreach ministry. So the bank closed the accounts at Tennessee ministry over its Christian views, or simply a business matter. And the reason is, in UK in the last few weeks, there have been a few instances where some banks closed their accounts for some groups and individuals based on their sexual beliefs. I mean, being anti-LGBT, pro-marriage, the normal correct marriage and all that, elicited some banks closing the accounts of people. I mean, and it's quite a worry, because if your views doesn't align with the views of an institution, doesn't mean they have the right to sanction you or censor you or cancel you out. I mean, this is the world we find ourselves in, where it's like everybody should align with the LGBT agenda, or you are rather ostracized. You know, for those who know this, small chocolate. Top, I mean, it's like small pebble like chocolates, I mean Skittles. They've done a packaging where, you know, they're infusing LGBT into their packaging. So a popular candy brand is being blasted for going woke and promoting LGBT ideology, sparking calls for boycotts. Although Pride Month is over, Skittles has introduced new packaging featuring LGBT pride slogans and images. You know, the way this LGBT thing is going sometimes is it's a real worry, because as to how this world will look like in the next few years, it's something else. It's really something else. And you see, in our case here in Ghana, yes, fortunately, because of our, you know, strong cultural values, as we are fighting, or even in the parliament and all that. But you see, the issue is something happened during the NDC primaries. Honorable Sam George, we all know, is the vocal guy, MP leading this whole campaign in parliament, one of the 8 proponents. But he's of all the 8, he's the most dynamic on radio interviews, TV interviews, confronting ambassadors and, you know, CNN and all this. During his campaign, a lot of money was pushed to unseat him from his primary, to cause him to lose. And you see, the sponsors of these were the LGBT funding groups, I mean, both within and outside the country. Think about it from this angle. For how long can we resist these people? You know, by the grace of God, Sam George was able to scale, he won massively and all that. But you see, looking at the way money, our democracy is being so, it's now money craze, money is everything. You see what is happening in our campaigns and all that. Eventually, if these people decide to really vote several millions upon millions upon millions into this country, our elections, if care is not taken, one day we'll be there, and then the people who would be winning in various parties to get into parliament, it will be people who are sponsored by these powerful brokers. Because with money, if they decide to push as much money, you can turn the tide. I mean, we Ghana, there we know money. Just, you know, look at recent elections, by elections, and money floating all over the place. People just being given little amount of money just to go and sway their votes and all. So we can't deny the fact that money plays a role in some of our elections. So if these people, if they decide to really push money, if care is not taken, one day we wake up and we are going to have a larger group of people in our parliament who will be supporting these things, because money is influencing and money is controlling. So they may not necessarily be, practicing LGBT, but they will align towards it because they are financed by pro-LGBT groups. This whole thing is just a matter of time. We really have to pray. We really, really have to pray as a country, because you see, the way our politics is going, that is one of the fears I have regarding how there can be a time where there will be a massive influence based on money to turn things around. You know, so in the countries where these people are really influencing things, money is the main game changer. So they are pushing money and they are turning things. Now, let's look at this news item. We're in the U.S. where it says, library group claims book banning at record high as parents oppose sexually explicit books in schools. The American Library Association has claimed that efforts to ban or restrict books in school libraries are on the rise amid parents' concerns about sexually explicit material depicting child sex and pedophilia. The ALA reported the data on Friday in a press release in advance of Banned Books Week, a September event that raises awareness about frequently challenged books. Between January 1st and August 31st, the organization documented 681 attempts to ban or restrict library resources aimed at 1,651 titles. More than 70% of the attempts sought to ban multiple titles. According to ALA, the ban attempts are on track to exceed record counts from 2021, when 729 attempts were made that targeted 1,597 book titles. And this should be a worry, because if you have this large number of books being sought, parents are seeking to ban them from the libraries, because they're explicit. Why should they be in the libraries in the first place for children? And seriously, you see some of the book titles and some of the contents of some of these books. I've seen some before, and it's shocking to the fact that, you see, adults, so-called adults, are writing these books for children, and school boards are approving them to be used in their districts. And you have instances where parents who oppose these books are sometimes arrested by the police at the board meetings or the school, board meetings, because the parents are deemed as they're obstructing the flow of the meeting, or they are. There was one instance where when the parent was reading the book that the same school board has approved, the district board has approved, now the board members were saying that it's explicit. It's offensive for the parent. But the father was saying that this is the same book my children are being asked to read. And now I'm reading the book to you, and now you people are feeling shy hearing the contents I'm reading that is sexually explicit. So you adults as board members, and I the parents reading it, and you say it's explicit, but the child reading it, that one is acceptable. Look at the logic. You see, this is the world we are in, where the whole plan is just destroy the children, intentionally destroy the children, break their morals, get them hooked into all sorts of lifestyles. You see, all these lifestyles are pro, this Planned Parenthood type of, stopping propaganda. They're encouraging this abortion and childlessness, not giving birth and all that. So these are all various strategies they are using, because the LGBT thing promotes that one way of not procreating is this LGBT thing, one way of encouraging it. So it's either they are promoting the abortion or they are promoting the LGBT. At the end of the day, their ultimate aim is humanity should not give birth, and then the cycle of how God created the system to be, they want to fight against the God plan of system. And that is what we are seeing with all this type of promotions that is going on in various ways, pushing it. So they are targeting, these early childhood, preteen, teen groups, targeting them to change their morals, expose them to lifestyles which will cause them to either engage in the fornication so that pregnancies will come, so that the cycle of abortion will be done. They make their money through the abortions. The abortion industry is a multi-billion dollar one. So, you see, they have to feed the abortion industry. So to feed the abortion means people should be having sex, fornication, so that there will be pregnancies which are unwanted, children, teenagers, preteens, so that then they abort, then they keep the cycle. So it's one way of feeding an industry. It promotes, so it's like it's marketing. To keep your supply chain going, you need people to be fornicating. How do you get them to be fornicating that young? Teach them how to engage them, trap them, keep them in bondage, in lifestyle, so to cause them to be in this sinful lifestyle, addictive lifestyle, so that they can keep the abortion business going. This is how evil people have become. And children are being exposed to these things. You see, I was told of a case this week. I was talking to this friend in the US, and she cited the case of someone she knows personally, that this child was brought to, they came home, the parents brought the child home, Ghana, for holidays. And this child, who was supposedly brought up in a Christian home, going to Sunday school and all that, taken to the US, comes home and now says that the Bible is a storybook. It's a myth. It's not true. The child is attacking the word of God. And the mother's sisters called her, and the way they blasted her, that you are a disgrace to this family. You were brought up in the fear of God. You've taken your family out to the US, and you can't continue the upbringing of your child in a Christian way. This little child leaves Ghana for a few months or a year or so, whatever. And now this child doesn't believe in the Bible again. Oh, he said they really gave it to the parents because it's like, it's on your watch that this is happening. You are watching your child lose the good values that she had from Ghana. And you see, so these issues are happening where people are brought up well, they get exposed to these systems and they lose their values. Sometimes you say that, oh, well, it's them. You are here. You are safe. But you see, we may have relatives there, cousins, whatever, nephews, nieces. They may come home for vacation or they may interact with your children and you don't know how they can influence them negatively. See, so sometimes you think it's too far away from you, so you are fine, you are safe, your children are safe. But they can be exposed in one way or the other through neighborhood friends who may be outside and they've come home for vacation. The short interaction, you don't know how some things can go. Some conversations can go in a way which you may not be aware of. And by the time you realize your good moral, I mean, children, they are losing it. See, so these are areas which we shouldn't take things for granted and just leave it as if, oh, it's those out there. We have to protect what we also have here because we don't know how far they are getting exposed to, whether in their schools or through now these days homework, assignment, online research, all sorts of, I mean, come on. I have a big problem with some of those research assignments. You see, so sometimes some of these things, you don't know if you are not regulating it well. Your child can be exposed to some things which you have no idea of and idea about. By the time you realize your child is already picking some knowledge elsewhere that you are not aware of, or contrary to what you are working hard to instill in that child. You see, so in as much as we do our part as parents and all, there's also the aspect of prayer, which I talked about when I started, that for those maybe who didn't tune in early, that, I mean, periodically I send this prayer points on children, praying for our children, and the next batch will be starting at September 1st. It's a daily, every night, prayer points, praying for your child on various topics every day, every night for the 30 days in the month. And for those who will be interested in being part of this, getting the broadcast list, the prayer points and all that, if you are not on my broadcast list and you keep receiving messages daily and all that, then you'll be getting it, God willing. But for those who used to and are no longer receiving by maybe changing of phone and all that, numbers or whatever, you can alert, send me a message. Or you've not been on my broadcast list at all before, but you still want to be part of it and all that. So 0244-638-757. And I'll gladly add you to it. We need to pray for our children. We really, really, really need to pray for our children. Okay, so there's this last point. I'll be back, take a little break, and I'll continue from that aspect of it. You know, these are times where if we've decided to follow Christ, we should be following Christ. Oh, yes. All right. I'm Eben. I'll be back.
I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back, no turning back. Before me, the world behind me. The cross before me, the world behind me. The cross before me, the world behind me. No turning back, no turning back.
Everyone sing, I have decided.
I have decided to follow Jesus.
I have decided.
No turning back, no turning back.
Everyone lift your hands and sing the cross.
The cross before me,
yeah.
The world behind me.
The cross before me.
The cross before me. The world behind me.
The cross before me.
The world behind me.
No turning back.
Beautiful old Christian song. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back. We the adults may have pledged ourselves to this. I mean, we've decided to follow Jesus, no turning back. But are we instilling this same mindset into the children? You know, if you are not careful, we are going to have a generational break where this current generation cannot pass on our values to the next generation. Because, see, there's this huge, you know, seriously, I mean, the conversation I had with this friend in the U.S., it was quite enlightening and worrying at the same time, because, see, she raised some serious issues as to how we were brought up. I've said this, I've discussed some of these on digital parenting in previous editions and all that, where, you see, we were brought up in a generation where there was no technology. I mean, no multi-channel TV stations, digital TV, satellite TV. It was black and white, and when color started, I mean, became mainstream, just one channel, at most two. I mean, it wasn't like we have today. There was no internet, there was no smartphone, there was no tablets for children. All these things didn't exist. So the competing factors for parents didn't exist. It was strictly a child goes to school, he comes home, he has homework or no homework, he plays, he eats, he baths, he sleeps. I mean, these were the basic principles for a child in growing up. So is a child is stubborn or a child is a bad child and all that. It's just about going over, staying in playing, and he's coming home late to come and bath, he's dirty. These were the things. Or a child is stubborn, stealing from, I mean, soup. I mean, these were the things parents were concerned about and all that. But now, fast forward to our time now, we have a completely different scenario. So many factors. Smartphones are competing for the souls of our children. Tablets, computers. You know, technology is a big monster now that is destroying these children. And if we are not careful as parents, we'll fail to instill the values that we should. You know, I'm into technology, but I'm not shy to say it, that I oppose a lot of the methods being used now in the educational system, where children, this homework, assignments, research online. I have a big problem with it. You know, when COVID came and, you know, this whole online thing for children started, you know, children online, Zoom class and all this research online. I mean, there were a number of discussions where I was giving some talks and all that, and I opposed it vehemently, because, you see, people were just enlightened and excited about the fact that, yes, advancement in technology, yes, our children are taking advantage of technology. From that aspect, yeah, okay, it looks good. But then based on where I'm coming from and what I stand for in advocacy for safety for children online and all these things, I look beyond the positives. And I see the negatives being a bigger demon to confront, because a lot of parents are not having the wherewithal, the ability, the means, the knowledge, the skill to be able to control and monitor their children effectively. So yes, the children are exposed to these things, but then what about the controls? What about the knowledge base, the parents being able to help, protect, secure their children online? Most parents are not having that ability. So yes, our children are getting knowledge in technology and ICT. Okay, good. But then what of the other side of it? What other things are they learning? What other things are they getting exposed to? What other things are undermining their good moral values and their Christian values? So these are some of the things I get worried about. And, you know, it will not be long. We'll be doing digital parenting. We'll be talking about it again. I have my panelists. They'll be joining. One expects, he's in that area as well, a specialist in that area. He's in California now, but he will be joining when I get into that series to share. He's having real-time experiences in California, because that's, you know, the headquarters of all these bad, bad things out there. So he's really exposed to some of these things from that real-life experience he's having. We'll be sharing some. And I'll be having other panelists as well joining in that series. God willing, it will take about 6 weeks or so to treat the digital parenting in this edition. The next edition series we'll be working on. But let me get into this next news item. I'm saying these things because of this last article I'm talking about, and that's what I'm focusing on this evening. Christian parents failing to instill biblical worldview in the next generation. Surveys show that Christian identity is in decline in America. Let me pause. These statistics and surveys are based on America and Europe and sometimes in other Western countries. Unfortunately, we are not doing these surveys here in Ghana. I mean, we all know, our numbers, we don't do statistics in Ghana, proper statistics mostly, and these things are not talked about. But I always say this, someone dares to make any of these surveys in this country, I dare say we will not have the variation being too different from what we see in the advanced countries. Oh, yeah. A study conducted by Family Research Council suggests that only 6% of the adult population has an authentic biblical worldview. So how can believers more effectively spread the gospel and begin to reverse the trend? Sociologist and researcher George Banner has an answer. It starts with the children and how they are raised. Banner, the director of research at the Cultural Research Center at Arizona Christian University and senior research fellow at FRC's Center for Biblical Worldview, has authored a new book, Raising Spiritual Champions, Nurturing Your Child's Heart, Mind and Soul, which is scheduled for release on Labor Day. In it, he argues that a biblical worldview must be instilled in young children in order for it to last into adulthood. The parents must be primarily responsible for this critical undertaking. Of course, the Bible is true on that. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he grows, he will not depart from it. Proverbs 22, I think. But as Banner explained on Wednesday's edition of Washington Watch, it took him a while to come to this realization. In my early to mid-30s, I had bought into the myth, the lie, if you will, that effective ministry is all about focusing on adults. He admitted, "Now I tell you, in the 25 years since then that we started doing that research, I've been building on that for the last quarter century. One of the things I've discovered is that adults basically don't change. Now, the Holy Spirit can change anybody at any time. I'm not questioning that. Don't doubt that I've seen that. I get it, but I'm a sociologist and a researcher, and I deal with averages. And I tell you that on the average, adults do not change unless they encounter a major crisis in their life. But this is not the case with children," Banner argued. "Children are in a period of their life where they are trying to figure out, how does life work? What matters? Who am I? Why am I here? All kinds of very fundamental questions that once they answer, they retain the answers for the rest of their lives, and they build on those as foundation stones." Banner contends that a big problem with the church in America is that millions of Christians simply accept Christ as their savior, but never take the next step of living a life committed to Christ and knowing him more deeply. He maintains that understanding how a person's worldview develops is key to helping more people take that next step in faith. "We found that there are four different worldview phases that people go through," Banner explained. "And most important of those is the first phase, and it starts when somebody is 15 to 18 months of age. And that worldview development phase is essential, completed by the time they reach age 13. Now, during the teens and 20s up to the mid-20s, sometimes later 20s, what we find is that people take that worldview that they developed as young children as the foundation for their life." So why does worldview matter so much? It's the decision-making filter that every single person has. Banner observed, "Every decision that you make, every decision I make, every decision a person makes is made on the basis of their worldview. And so their worldview is their intellectual, their emotional, their moral, their spiritual filter that helps them to understand how things work. That's right. That's proper. What's appropriate? How they are going to navigate life." Banner further asserted that the modern parenting tendency to delegate others to teach their children has contributed to a societal decline in biblical worldview. "Essentially, what's happened is we've developed a kind of new model of parenting, which I described as outsourcing," he noted. We look for people who can do the best job in different dimensions of our children's lives. And so we'll look for the best teachers, the best coaches, all those kind of people who we can hire or cajole into spending a lot of time with our children to give them whatever kind of training and development and experiences that they may need. But what happened as a result of the outsourcing model is that parents have stepped back. They've handed over the worldview development process to all of these outsourced experts, the professionals, the ones who allegedly have better experiences, better processes than we do. What we discovered, Bana continued, is that most parents have no plan for what they are going to do to raise their children up. Less than 10% of them have any kind of spiritual development plan for their children, and that includes worldview development. And then when you look at the parents themselves, what we know is that only 2% of parents in America today actually have a biblical worldview. You can't give what you don't have. So we are in a situation where we've got a lot of parents who are winging it. Bana went on to encourage parents to take their primary educator responsibilities seriously and invest the time to form deeply authentic relationships with their children. We found that parents that had a spiritual worldview development plan are much more effective in raising spiritual champions, he emphasized. Those who are consistent with their children over the course of 15 to 20 years, they have their children. They are more effective at building deep relationships with their children, which means investing a lot of time. It's not always about telling them what to do or what to think, but spending time listening to what the child is saying so that you can respond appropriately, knowing where you want to take them, hearing where they are at, and then bringing them from forward to a different place and making sure that the Bible is the foundation of your conversations. Bana continued, we found that these conversations have to take place around real-world events. Tell stories, get examples from your children of what they are going through in life and relate biblical principles to those stories. But do it not by beating them over the head with God's word, but by asking them questions about what they believe, why they believe, and what they did, why they did it, asking if they are familiar with the different biblical principles. Do they think that might have worked in the situation? These kind of conversations are so critical, but none of it will take root unless you, as a parent, model that in your own life. Bana concluded, that's part of that consistency element which is so critical. Now let me get into the Word of God. Deuteronomy chapter 6, and I like it very, very, very much because it summarizes all this. Deuteronomy 6 verse 4. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thine mind. Verse 6. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart. 7. Thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thy house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. 8. And thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thy hand, and they shall be as frontlets between thine eyes. Verse 9. And thou shalt write them upon the posts of thy house and on thy gates. Deuteronomy chapter 6, you can read, 6 to 9. And you see, this foundational scripture is what the Jews use to teach their children the Torah. Because it's an instruction that you should do it. And that's exactly the research. You see, this is from the Bible, Deuteronomy 6. And Barnes' research I just read is based on scientific research that they've done. And so the worldview, the research, it virtually aligns with what the Word of God says. You see, so we have a role to play as parents. The Word of God. You see, because we are missing it as parents if we fail to instill it in them. Else, as I said, we'll have a generation that will come. You read the Word of God, some of the saddest parts is a generation arose that knew not the Lord, or a generation arose that did not know God. And you ask yourself, what happened? Especially when that previous generation experienced God's miracles and all that. And yet a generation can arise that did not know God. That means there was a break in transmission. The parent failed to do what Deuteronomy chapter 6 is supposed to do or talks about doing. Transferring the knowledge of the Word of God to the next generation, to the children. You see, we in next gen, we have no excuse because every means possible, we have it to teach our children the Word of God. We have it in audio, we have it in video, we have it, I mean, everything, every platform you can think of, we have the Word of God in. So if there was a generation, or there is a generation that should be able to imbibe the Word of God in our children, the greatest, it should be this generation. Sadly, it's rather the generation that we are losing our children in the knowledge of the Word of God. Why? There's no time. Other things are taking the place of the Word of God in the lives of the children. Technology, gadgets, tablets, this and that and that and that. You see, so we are losing them unconsciously to these systems around us. And that's why it's so critical and so important we pay attention to the children. We just cannot ignore them as if, oh, when they grow, they'll catch up. No. The research I read, by the time they grow up, they've made up their minds already. You see, the Bible is clear that train up a child. Let me just get it right. I think Deuteronomy 22:6. Can't trust my memory, so let me just confirm. Oh, okay, I'm right. Yeah. Sorry, I said Deuteronomy. Proverbs 22:6. Yeah. Proverbs 22:6. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. So this is a principle, spiritual principle. If you train the child based on the Word of God, he will grow based on it. He will not depart from it. I mean, even when he strays, he will go and he will come back. Because this principle is a spiritual one that will stand the test of time. So once you do your work diligently, training the child in the way he should go, the right way, the Word of God, the Bible way of training a child, even when he strays, he will come back. Because that foundation is still there. And as you back up with prayer and everything, he will still come back. He will stay on track. You see, so we have a lot of work to do as parents. And I believe this edition, and maybe in the next few ones, we'll be talking a bit about these things, because we are making a mistake as parents, largely. Of course, not every parent. Some are doing it perfectly. Some are doing right. God bless them and all that. But let's help ourselves. Let's encourage ourselves. Where we are failing, what can we do to fix? What can we do to correct ourselves? Mistakes have been made in the past. Should we go on making the mistakes? No. So we'll be talking, God willing, next week. This is recorded to be uploaded to spiritissues.info and the Telegram group Spirit Issues. For those sending the names to be part of the broadcast prayer list, please also send your name. Because sometimes I have some names, but not all. And also save my name, because broadcast list, you should have saved my number. I said save my number, so that when I send, I save you your number and I send the broadcast list, you can also receive it. So save my number, 0244-638-757. 0244-638-757. And if those sending the numbers, please add your name to it so that I can save your name assigned to your number well. And God willing, we'll be starting it September 1st, every night. The prayer points will be coming and all that. So this is Eben. I believe you've been blessed this evening. And let's keep praying for ourselves, praying for our children. Because we need a special type of wisdom in these times, the times we live in. Seriously, we need a special type of wisdom to know how to train our children in the fear of God. So good night, and God richly bless you.